At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
I cannot make any more excuses and realize I need to kind of understand and vent into realizing when things are going on, lean towards other people than not just by myself.
Wow. I needed to hear that. Yep.
Yep. And sometimes I need to give myself grace. You know, yeah. I can't beat myself constantly on a daily basis and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be, and keep smiling. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm from
the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm right. Hi guys, it's your girl Nahama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have Esther Wagner with me. Welcome.
I'm excited, so thank you for having me. So.
Yeah. Oh, I always just love starting how I like, you're one of the first people in a minute who I haven't met through Babes in Business, but it's even better because we're both brand ambassadors for CC.
Yes, yes. Which is really interesting. It's pretty cool to me because the variety of girls that we have with CC. Shout out to Shopsy Ham.
Let's go.
I love it because like I get to meet different variety of women and the woman empowering. I love that. And just like it puts me in a different perspective of like feeling confident. And I love that, which is like a fulfilling feeling when you're in a different aura of different women. And like also like as more I introduce myself playing rugby, which is something I fulfill and is a special part in my heart, the rugby community, and especially the team that I play for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think everything about you is so empowering. But it's true though, and like CC was very selective about the girls that she picked to be, or I should say the women that she picked to be her ambassadors, you know, because not only are we all there to support her and in spirit support each other, all of us have our own things going on, our own passions, our own careers, and we show up for each other as often and as best as we can.
Absolutely.
It's which is true. Amazing, you know.
Yes, that's absolutely true. When it was funny that you mentioned that, when CC first started, I was just, funny story. So CC and I met through the gym, House of Pain, and I used to consistently just working out. And I was going through like a very hard time, during this phase. And me and CC was just like, her aura was very uplifting. And as you know, CC's like bubbly and like, she was just like introduced herself automatically. And in the moment when you're in a gym, you're just like, I'm gonna go in there and just work out and just leave.
Yeah, totally.
And go home.
Yeah, totally.
Pretty much, right? Yeah. And so having that conversation with CC, she's like introducing herself. And I met her sister when I went to Chesterfield. And then like around that time during like, I can't remember, it was around like New Year's or so. And so, and she hits me up and she's like, hey, I am doing a clothing line business and I would love to have you a part of it. And I ended up going to her, one of her first photo shoot. And this is like around the phase where I step away from like playing rugby for a little bit for a season. And it was nothing, just like exhausted or tired. It was just like mentally. And I'm always like a person that loves, which no one should do this, avoid issues, like avoid. Cause it's a way of like comforting in a way.
Yeah.
Avoiding problems when you should just kind of sink into realizing you got a lot going on and you need to validate those emotions.
But the longer you wait, the bigger it feels.
Chaos.
You know? And then it's just harder to even like approach it. So it's so valid.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly.
Absolutely. It's absolutely true. After meeting CC, it was amazing, a period of time where just kind of stepping away. But then I realized like rugby is such a huge like part of my life now. And it wasn't just playing on the field. Like, I mean, in my opinion, if any girls are trying to find a new hobby, and I feel like playing rugby should be something I would always offer. Tell women like, hey, go play rugby. Definitely go play rugby. Because I did not know squat about what to do. And like, I never played for like a college or anything, and I just looked up a club nearby, and I was just like, pandemic. Don't forget, it was the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
And I looked, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Let's do it. And so I ended up joining. But meeting Cece as well also uplifted that aura of my side of feminine, where I love dressing up. I love being girly. Mm-hmm. And she really uplifted that side of me, but also kind of had a balance to it.
Yeah. That's, you know, because it is hard, I think, as women, where we're told that if we do certain things, it's not feminine.
Yeah.
And it's not empowered. And I don't agree with that, because I think it's really more about energy.
Yeah.
And absolutely. What's that intention, right? Because yeah. If you're feeling empowered and beautiful no matter what you're doing,
yeah.
That is feminine, yeah. In my opinion.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Because if you're wearing your hair all perfect, you're all dolled up, you got your nails, you got your cute little frilly dresses yeah. on, but you're being a complete bitch, you're not feminine.
You know? Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying. Yeah. It's all energy. Mm-hmm. It's all energy.
Yeah, absolutely. That is true. but see, I love the fact that you said that, you know, the ignorant, the little like stuck up feeling of a woman, right? And I cannot stand that. I cannot, I don't tolerate that, because coming from someone that's had a pretty hard time growing up in America, I moved up here in 2008. And some of you don't know, which you don't know me, but right. I moved here from American Samoa. It's a small territory. It's a small island on the South Pacific. Moved up here in 2008. And keep in mind, like, English is my second language.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, I had a great dad, which he's considered as my dad. He's my stepdad, but he raised me my whole life. And so school was pretty difficult for me because my anxiety was really bad. Yeah. And you know, it was kind of hard to live the two different cultural of like, mom is Samoan, fully Samoan. And then there's dad who's basically raised me as the American way. Mm. And I always ran into a bunch of ignorant people. I mean, like, freedom of speech, you get to say whatever you want. It comes to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is back home, that's not tolerant. Like, you know, you don't just go around and say whatever you want to say on your mind.
Right.
I mean, think before you speak.
Right. I mean, to be fair, there is freedom of speech.
Yeah.
But I think we also have to be considerate of others and have mm-hmm. tact and class and manners.
Absolutely.
What happened to manners, you know?
Yeah. And also the morals. I think that's the major part that I really had a very hard time growing up. I think that would build a lot of my anxiety as growing up, being I constantly kind of, in a way, had a difficult time getting along with classmates and throughout elementary school. Especially like body shaming too, you know, like obviously I'm a tall average woman size mm-hmm. especially with my genetic Samoan. But you don't, you know, what one thing that's very difficult is like when you're coming to a new place and you don't see, you know, similar futures, it's like very different. So in a way I was just always insecure. Like I would like, you know, in a line of with kids, we're like, all right, lined up. And then we have the giraffe. And then I used to be called a giraffe, which at this, like, I really validate my height, my beauty, my background yeah. as a young woman. Looking back at it, I wish that we were more involved with like to younger kids to understand how beautiful they are and just constantly repeat those conversation and what doesn't make it any better. And I highly believe it. And I feel like now that time is getting worse for younger kids, if you think about it, because the media, I mean, there's studies, like I read articles sometimes coming on like my phone saying like, oh, like social media is something that's a major issue for young kids. Which is really like a sensitive part for me to see that for younger ones, like elementary school, you have kids who are on TikTok and Instagram at a young age, seeing these things, that's not realistic, you know? So that's the major part that kind of hits a sensitive spot to see that, because body shaming is such a huge thing. I had a lot of bad experience growing up with myself. My worst experience is like being picked on, basically bullied throughout until like it kind of stopped by the time I got to high school when I started getting in a very serious relationship.
Mm.
But then at the same time, I'm in these like early age of relationship, right? And it's not very healthy. And I was just like, wow. And then when you're getting body shame from someone that you like adore, so it's like not the best, right? So it may even like cherry on top, you have so many stuff that's going in your head and it kills your
self-esteem, your self-worth. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, it could, no matter what age it is, because I experienced body shaming from a guy that I dated. I wasn't even a super serious relationship, but it was just the beginning stages.
Absolutely.
But I think like that's just human nature. We want to be accepted by someone who we're attracted to and who we are interested in. And then our biggest fear is having them look at us and repeat our biggest fears and insecurities to us and say that's the reason why we're not good enough.
Yeah.
And when you have that experience, that's just mind-blowing. And
yeah,
even as adults, all the filters, I still use them, but I've definitely changed how much I use them, because there was a point, and this is part of my graphic design background too, where like I just start playing around with it. And the next thing you know, I've created this alter ego and she's beautiful. She's not me, but she's beautiful. You know, at a certain point, you just change so much. It starts off with like, there's a little acne here or your skin's a little too oily. And the next thing you know, you've created this alter ego. And I went off of Instagram for an entire year. It started off as a challenge just for 1 week. And then I kept pushing and seeing how much further, how much longer could I go?
Really?
And during that year, my entire perspective on beauty changed because I didn't have all the Instagram influencers and the filters. Mm-hmm. And so I started to really appreciate women of all different features.
Right, absolutely.
And all different beauty, whether they're wearing makeup or they're in their natural state.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, and that's good. That's a good – when you have a mentality able to snap back, it's beautiful in a way, and it feels like uplifting, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a spark. Like, it's a great feeling, because I remember – going back to the pandemic, right? I was definitely in a stage of life where I think that everyone can agree the pandemic really put a hold on everything, like going out, seeing people, traveling, and like what now, like gets you into really thinking. And in my phase, I would definitely say the pandemic got me to like really thinking about my mental health and just like realize like I'm putting everything on hold, MIA. I have not spoken to a lot of friends from high school. I mean, lost a lot of girlfriends, but it wasn't intentionally like, you know, I want to lose you or just kind of fade out.
Yeah.
So it just fades out. And as time went on, like I mentioned, I looked up to play rugby. I was like, okay. And I was like, if I'm going to play this sport, and I know, I mean, I was always somewhat like a small frame, but when I said I was big, I was big. I got to a size where it was just depression, putting on weight from just eating, eating, just constantly just very depressed. I just lost myself. And just thinking back to that, playing sports my whole life, and then junior year hit was like the highlight where everything went downhill. And don't get me wrong, I have a very good support system with family, but it was just something within just personally what I was going with myself personally, right? So the pandemic, I joined rugby, and like I was like, if I'm gonna play the sport, I need to be a little more fit. I need to start training myself.
Yeah.
I can't look like this, you know. And then the more I constantly, consistently going and going, I started to see results. Like, okay, 6 months go by, scale says something that's dropping and lower and lower.
Yeah.
The digits are looking good. So I was just like, I felt fabulous. And as time goes by, gym, rugby, trying my best in the gym, trying my best to be at the practices and showing improvement. I started to see somewhat results on both ends, you know. But the more I came to rugby, I found fulfilling people that lifted me. These women are just, when I tell you, they're phenomenal. The Sabres teams, they're called the Sabres. It's a women's club in St. Louis. Every time I see them on Tuesdays and Thursdays, all my thoughts go out of my head
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like, when I, it's like all the noise just stops, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing with them Tuesdays and Thursdays. Practice starts at 6:30. So I arrived there, remember coming to practice, and you would just have a lot of different friends, some friends from healthcare, some like doing some interesting job. And I think that's the cool part about playing for this team is like you have a variety of women doing cool things. I mean, keep in mind, we're working full-time jobs.
That was what was surprising to me as well, because for some reason in my head, I was like, oh, you're a full-time rugby player. Or I thought you were in college and doing rugby, kind of full-time within the schooling and stuff.
Yeah.
But that makes it even more impressive. The fact that you guys are juggling these full-time lives. A lot of them, you said, are like married and have kids.
Yes.
And then to make that dedicated time twice a week to practice and then for games, that's such amazing dedication.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely really true. And I'm glad you point that part out, because like with the kids and a mom, girl, I don't have kids and I am amazing. And round of applause to these girls who are putting their body on the line. And I think like when I say put their body on the line, they play phenomenal. Like I have, like these girls are like, I would never guess some of them are mom. And they play as they're like my age. And I'm over here complaining about knee pain and back pain. So sometimes like, let me not. This is embarrassing because they're moms and they're doing a phenomenal job.
Right.
Like, and they're just full time. Some of them are full time as like as mom working, or maybe just working and also being a mom too, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the cool part about playing on the rugby team, is realizing like you have a variety of also moms and those who are also working full time and some are in school. I think that's pretty cool. And then the time that the coaches are putting in as well. I mean, doing this for a community, and especially trying to grow into being recognized. And, you know, rugby is a growing sport right now. But it's, I've noticed like it's growing a lot. I don't know if you watched the Olympics.
Rugby is so cool.
Yeah.
It is so cool.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I love it. I love to play the sport, but I love it also because the people. So.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the Aries in me, but I feel that a lot of sports, especially in the U.S., were a little bit more hands-on back in the day. And now there's so many rules that it's almost like, to me, it feels like pre-calculated and theatrical versus like sport.
Right.
And pure strength. And like, maybe that's just, I mean, we were talking just before the cameras were officially live, and we were saying how like, you know, you're more like athletic, even though you do have this feminine side, but like, I'm very feminine, but I do have this like rough and tough side. So it's like, I need to be wearing the right outfit, but
yeah,
if I'm dressed to play rugby or to play flag football or something like that, like I was the girl that would want to tackle people and I don't want rules.
It's never too late. don't love to have it. And you are right. It's definitely like a cool sport, and especially like I don't know. It's just something like when you're on the field, you're playing, and like you're playing with a variety of girls, like you click it off. And these are girls that I basically spend my whole fall and spring with. And sometimes there and then we'll like pick it up throughout the all season. Hey girl, do you want to have brunch? Do you want to like go out to eat? These are girls that if they call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and I have not talked to them in a while, oh, trust and believe, I'm going to be pulling up for them. 3 o'clock in the morning, if they, you know, those girlfriends that, you know, if they're in trouble, they're definitely a group of women and that set a special part in my heart heavily, especially from where I started with them at the very beginning. And it wasn't just because of rugby. It was personally, they took a lot of things off my back when I was just like so overwhelmed. And little did they know, their presence was just like something that was well needed. And
Have siblings?
I do.
Okay. So that sounded like a random question, but I think it all connects because like, you mentioned this to me when we had our pregame too, about how you're that ride or die friend. Where like, if people need you, you're the one who's there, you know? And I was just thinking about it and I'm like, it's such a beautiful quality. And it's something that I realized I don't have. Like,
I'm pretty sure you do.
I do it. But when I tell you that there was so much resistance in me, and I was like, literally, I'm having this conversation in my head while you're talking to me. I'm like, why? Why am I not like her? Like, why am I not? Why am I not like a giver? And I realized that it's because I do have siblings. Yeah. I have two older brothers, but they're so much older than me.
Really?
So, and they went out of town for high school. So predominantly, I was pretty much raised like an only child.
Okay.
The only girl, very spoiled.
Yeah.
Not like a brat spoiled, but yeah. It just didn't have a lot of people who I had to share my things with.
That shows only child vibes. And you know, I validate it because I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest.
So you're a giver for sure. Yeah. You had to be.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. And you know,
a giver and a leader.
Yeah. And I honestly, in a way, it's a very comforting. I think that's where it comes in. From the beginning of our conversation, I'd like to avoid issues because I've always been put in a higher standard. And then, like I mentioned to you, like living in two different cultures of mom and then dad lived, you know, basically lived in America and moved to the islands and married mom.
Right.
It's very different because like you have one ear is telling you like you're the oldest. We expect better from you. You don't need to be like constantly, you know, feeling like you need to complain. But don't get me wrong, mom is a great person. She's like, any of my friends know, she's so welcoming and she's the sweetest person ever and always forgiving. And I think that's my other trait on my side is always forgiving and don't recognize the boundary sometimes.
So it's opposite extremes, right?
Yeah.
It's like almost being too giving versus like not giving enough. So finding that balance.
Absolutely.
Where I'm like, I want to, and I see the value in it. It's just more about like, and I do it, like I'll physically do it for my friends, but it's more about like, I have to think to myself, okay, well, what do I need to do to help friends? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, another one, Hannah, I love you. She's going to know that I'm saying this, so I have to call this out. Some of my friends I know listen and some I know don't. For the ones who do, I have to like be like, hey, sorry. But she just had a baby and I'm like, I don't know how to support a friend with a baby. So like, it wasn't my natural thing to just know how to reach out. But then I'm like, I should reach out. Do something nice.
Absolutely.
And so then I asked my boss at one of my jobs, because she just had a baby. I was like, from a mom's perspective, like, what would you want? Like, what would you need? You know?
That's so valid. Yeah.
I'll go and I'll do my research. But like the natural thought of just giving, like, you know, some people, they're just, they know what to do. They've got this mama bear, mother nature vibes to them. And I'm just like, I want it. But it just takes me a little bit more to get there, you know?
Yeah, I can definitely understand that part. At least you're being honest. I love that, but your aura of honesty, of just like, you know, telling how you feel. And that's something that not a lot of people can have at like up front. Just being honest without even like, some people will like very like, it's kind of like eggshell. Cautious of what to say, but I definitely validate that how opening you are, especially as the only child. Some people don't mention those things at the first, you know, give a head warning, like, okay, by the way, I'm an only child, just so you know. And like,
right,
like,
so like, if I seem like a brat, there's a reason.
But I love it. I love those like sense of humor of side, and like also I don't know. I think that's like really a great trait about you, but you also don't recognize that you do have an aura of kindness and generally a genuine person, but you just have boundaries. And that's something I don't have. But I am working on this.
Right.
I am working on those little boundaries of recognizing. Sometimes it doesn't hurt to say no.
Yeah.
No. And just consistently just keeping pushing, you know, and I think, like I've mentioned to you, the girls I play with rugby have put like a really hard, humbling moment for me at the beginning when I played with them, how sensitive I was. But there's nothing wrong with having a group of girls who are lecturing you and telling you, hey, Esther, that's not okay. Like, you can do it. And then even just like on the field, like I have even great players who are always constantly, you know, putting confidence in me. Because when I play, like, I know I can do it. It's just the mentality of understanding that you can do it, and you just keep judging yourself a little too much. Mm-hmm. And once you're in that mentality of just thinking a little, overthinking, you start to kind of like not perform as the best as you can. Yep. And then like these results, and you're wondering why. You kind of messed up because you're just doing too much in your head, you know?
Right.
And it's the confidence, like we've been speaking about. That's why I said like these girls are very special to me. You know, they sit a special part. They're basically like a second family for me, for building confidence in me in sport, with my body, you know, taking my health more serious. I mean, I was like huge. I showed you the photos of the results. I've lost the weight.
Yeah, you did incredible. That was amazing.
And I think that it's just it takes a good support system and good people around you, and realizing to keep you accountable.
Yeah. Well, what's so scary about for anyone out there who gains weight easily,
yeah,
especially when it comes from depression and overeating from an emotional place.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, you're not treating your body the way it needs to. You know, you're not performing at your best. But I think it does kind of sneak up on you, as crazy as that sounds.
Oh.
Where you don't realize just how bad it's gotten. You know what I mean? Until one day you're wearing an outfit that is tight. That's not supposed to be tight in any way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? I remember, because you know Jeff Lavecchio, you met him.
Yes, yes.
Through House of Pain. So he was my trainer for a little bit, and he came on my podcast, and I was wearing his shirt with like his logo on it. And when he first got to me, like most of his sizes are all male sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I like getting oversized t-shirts because I like having a little wiggle room when I work out, and it's just nice, you know? So I just washed and I put it on, and it was tight around my arms. And I was like, oh, it must have shrunk. Oh, girl,
not the arms.
It's like the arms. The arms is like the last place. That's when you really know.
So much insecurity just kicks in.
You just know when the arms get tight, that's when it's really bad. And that's when it's weird when you start losing weight, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, sleeves are supposed to have room?
Get out.
It's so true though. Like, no one talks about it, but it's just like these weird, like, non-weight moments.
Oh gosh.
That you're like, that are wins. And you're like, oh my gosh, I could sit down and I don't have a Winnie the Pooh belly. Like, so exciting, you know?
What gets me is literally the pudge when you're sitting down, like flat in the car seat, and you're just like, oh my God, this is not good.
No, it sneaks up on me. I know it sounds wild, but like it really does. And then sometimes you even get to a point where you're like, well, okay.
No, it really hits reality when you kind of notice, like, and like you said, it sneaks up to you really quickly.
Yeah. What was your point? I'll tell my story in a second, but what was your point where you were like, yikes?
Oh, okay. Well, on this one, what really kind of like sneaked up to me, like, yes, I was like seeing myself like already big. But like, as I mentioned, like during the pandemic was like a pause and hold on a lot of us are alive, and mine as well. And kind of like did a lot of thinking, like doing a lot of thinking with just like relationship and just people and just depressed with myself. And I did not get on anti-depression medication till like not too long ago, like a year or so, or maybe. But it was just depression mostly. Like I mentioned, like, things I went through my junior year, and it wasn't the best. I'll say it was not the best year of my life. And with the individual person, and it was just a previous relationship in high school.
Yeah.
It was, toxic and also abusive. So those things had played a huge role of, down in my early 20s. And that part is like, I'm very comfortable to talk about those conversations now, as I got into seeing a therapist and realizing the things that I went through was not good. You know, you can't hide those conversations. You can't keep running from those conversations the rest of your life. And recognizing it was a trauma in a way. And then when I was going through the pandemic, I was working out, I was avoiding conversation, and I would just rather be at the gym. Like I was insanely just kind of cuckoo in a way, I will work a 16 hours of a shift as a patient care tech at the hospital, and we'll get off a 16-hour shift and go straight to the gym. That's how insanely I was just trying to avoid my own problem. And the very first time, the very first time I had went to the gym, I got my membership, right? I was like, you know, my hours are coming up. 12 hours is about to be over. What should I do? Okay, I'm going to pick up another few hours. And then I was like, okay. And this is me just avoiding. Just, like, don't – just constantly going. Just want to keep doing something. I ended up purchasing, like, a membership at Planet Fitness. And here I am at Planet Fitness working out, hitting the Stairmasters and, like, crying.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Quiet at the same time. And I'm like, wow. So I'm just like constantly keep going. And like the more I went, and it plays a huge role. We got a good jam of playlists. Man, when I tell you Spotify hits where you're going, and it's just, you just forget. You get so caught up in your own world. You're just like, it's a flow, you know?
Right.
You have a consistent good habit. And so, of course, like I mentioned, like, it's all forgiveness. And of course, yes, it was a bad situation. And some people will say, like, oh yeah, that, you know, screw you. Like, you did it. Like, wish the worst for someone. But in my very honest opinion, I really genuinely hope the best for this person from my past. As time grows, we all grow as an individual. And I do believe in development, but it's never an excuse to go back and repeat the past.
I agree.
You know, you can forgive and move on, but understand that. Don't ever look back thinking that some stuff is acceptable to take along on the journey with your life. You know, I want to see you eat, but it's just not at my table. That's for sure.
Yeah. I like the way you phrase that. I want to see you eat, but just not at my table.
Absolutely.
My other friend and I, she and I are very into like karma and energy and like
voodoo dolls.
Well, no, but we don't feel the need to take on any like revenge.
Yeah.
Because we're like,
absolutely,
God will take care of it.
No, and God doesn't like
karma. Energy is going to take care of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you put out that kind of stuff, it's going to come get you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll even say, like, in Judaism too, where we believe that like this world is just like a corridor for the next world.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you'll have, you know, the famous question is, why do good people suffer and why do bad people sometimes seem to have amazing lives? And sometimes the answer is that this world is just the preview for the next world. And so, in other words, they're using up any good merits they possibly could have in this world, and the next world they're just going to burn in hell. Versus like in this world, sometimes very righteous people, their souls will choose to go through more suffering so that they can enjoy more later.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, sometimes if someone wrongs me, I'll say, I hope you have the best life in this world. Just the best, like all the blessings and everything.
Oh my God. No, I agree. I seriously... everything that you're saying is just so valid. It's honestly in my heart, like I've told you, I've always grown in an aura of household with home, with, you know, family. You know, they always nag at me. Like, I remember as a little girl, yes, there was a point in my life I was just very hard-headed and just like, no, like, it really sank in, and like I realized why mom is so generally just like very nonchalant and chill. Because why waste the energy to even invest in that moment, like when I could be kind of giggling? And my mom is such a giggler. All she does is laugh.
That's so great.
Yeah, though. And I feel like I have her laughing box all the time. I cannot, like, every time when she's in the room, all we do is laugh. Like, something silly just happened and we're just like looking at it. It's like almost like a best friend aura.
Yeah, what a blessing.
Like, you just, like, you ever just look at someone in the room and you just can't take serious? Because I know exactly what my mother is thinking right now. So I'm, like giggling and looking at her face expression. Yep. It's not, like, a mean mug. It's just a silly face that she makes. And
yeah, you know how she's reacting to everything. You know how she's observing everything. And you're like, I know. I can't even look at you right now because I'm trying to be serious, but I can't. Yeah, it's the best. That's so funny. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying because, like, I'm super close with my mom as well. And, Yeah, it's just, it's such a blessing, I think, to just be able to like
Yeah.
laugh with the women in your family. I think that's just one of my best memories. Like, I don't remember who I was talking to about this recently. It might have been my mom, to be honest.
Really?
But, you know, there's such a stigma of like, in a derogatory, negative way, saying that women should be in the kitchen, barefoot, pregnant. That's their role, that's their place, right? And I know that there's so much more to us as women for sure. And I'm not pregnant, but being in the kitchen barefoot is one of my favorite things in the whole world. And it's not like that's not all I am. That's not my whole role and my whole function, obviously. But like some of my best memories are in the kitchen with my friends, with my family, heck, my brothers, my dad. Like we've all been in there
Absolutely.
generationally cooking together, laughing together.
Wow.
Like, that's just been a place where it's like people would say to me sometimes, like, where did you learn how to cook? And it's like, I
Right.
learned from my mom. I learned from my grandmother, like being in the kitchen together. Or even if my grandmother was cutting vegetables for like salads, like all of us grandkids would be hanging around in
Right.
there, you know?
No, that's so, oh my God, like you're giving me flashback on things that with my sisters and I, and also with mom, that is a really fulfilling like way of saying like growing up around surrounded with women makes a huge difference. When you have an aura of women just know how to act, know how to, be polite. Like mom taught us a certain way how to go about situations. So I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed to have a mom who humbles us and like will literally check us in a way like they see us doing silly things or just like force us to go over there and like go say hello. Don't just walk past, like secretly just like kind of like not embarrass us without empathizing. Like, oh, you should have said something, So,
There's a way to say things, for sure.
yeah, like having those parenting skills in a way of intention showing, you need to do things certain ways, a good mentor. And I felt like mom has always done a good job of like, being genuinely kind and showing compassion to others. Because my sisters, I'll tell you, I love them to death. Like I actually get along very well, and I'm very blessed to have sisters who I can get along very well. And not a lot of siblings have that relationship. Some siblings as individual, they don't get as clicky. I mean, they live together, they grew up together, some move away from each other, but I've basically grown up with my sisters, and there are girls like I could call up and they're like literally, oh yeah, no problem, I'll be there in a minute, like really quick without even thinking or trying to make, well, not to be crazy obsessive, but like they're just good girls where they're like my best friends.
As they should be.
Yeah, they are. And same thing with mom, mom has always taught us like you guys are all you have. When I hate my mom when she says this. What are you guys gonna do? Like when we get in a huge argument with my sisters, like I'll get in a huge argument with my middle sister. It's like, you guys are gonna argue, like, what if I'm not here and you guys are arguing? You guys are fussing, you guys are gonna be like mad at each other. What if I'm dead? I'm not here to fix your problems. It will be like that's a little deep, mom, but it kills me. That the my mom's sense of humor is funny, but the way she says things is just hilarious. But then honestly, I love the aura of mom trying to say certain things because it makes me a little closer to my sister all the time. And now we literally it's like a duplicate like of mom. Like we're all similar to mom. We copy her traits of kindness and we're pretty sensitive, but I think the most sensitive person is, believe it or not, and I'm the oldest, I am very sensitive. Like my middle sister is like hardcore in a way, a little bit like a little meanie, like mean pants girl. Like, and even my actually and then my youngest one, like younger sister is she's a similar to me, like very sweet, because like our middle sister will, when we go in the grocery store, she's like straight to the point. We'll be like, no, we don't want that. You ever pass by like AT&T? Hey, do you have AT&T? Would you like to? My sister, no. We just look at her like sideways, like, you could have responded in the most nicest way. You didn't have to say no like that. And say, well, are you guys gonna say no? Are you guys gonna just stutter? And I will bust out laughing, like,
That's so
she
funny. You need all types, you know? I feel like I've gone back and forth being both personalities, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's something new that I've had to learn how to do is like be more of that firm no, because certain circumstances people will take advantage of you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So you have to, I think it's a beautiful trait. You just have to learn to use it in the right environments.
Absolutely. And that's very true because that's something that I deal with a lot daily. Just like as time like grew on, I kind of like known better, especially with like the journey of losing weight and also being around girls who play rugby. They're literally like the best. I feel like they were one of my best mentors, like growing up in my early 20s. Cause I started with them, like, I was the youngest on the team. Like, all of them were like older than me, like late 20s. And now some of them are in their like mid 30s. And they always call themselves old, but they don't act old. Like, they look young, they look good. I'm like, madam, you're still running on these fields. Like nothing, you're not huffing and puffing, so you're not old to me.
Fair. I'm turning 29 this week, actually. It's my birthday this Thursday.
Happy birthday.
But I, you know, I'm gonna be 29, which is not old, but it's definitely kissing 30, and I'm starting to feel older, not in terms of physically older, because I still sometimes feel like I'm in high school.
Yeah,
it's just more about those life experiences. And then you look back and you're like looking at high school kids, and I'm getting to the point where I'm looking at girls in their early 20s, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're children.
Yeah.
They're
yeah,
so yeah. young, just comparatively. But I remember being their age and not feeling that young at all. It's yeah. just to me, I look at them and they're like, oh my gosh, the older I get, the younger they're looking.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
true.
Wild to me. But it's just more about maybe this is their perspective, because I think this is what mine is. One thing I love is I'm getting closer to 30. I'll just be like, I'm too old for this shit. And that's just like, help me discern about certain situations.
No,
I know.
I always hear that with the girls I play with.
Yeah.
It was like, they will say like, I'm getting old for this. And then like, I keep forgetting how old they are. But right. keep in mind, these girls look so freaking shredded. Like, some of them look shredded to me.
It's not even
maybe it's because they're smaller.
You can't do it. It's more of like an emotional thing where you're just like, life's too short. I don't have time for this. I'm too old for this shit. Like, that's more where that energy is coming from, you know?
That's true.
Where it's like, you don't have time for the drama.
Yeah, that's very, well, I would say like with the team I play, like the way they carry themselves spiritually, aura is amazing. And that's the one thing that I will say, I'm weird and I definitely match in their like aura of pack of girls. Like, they're literally back home, we call it family meets Ainga, and they're literally like Ainga. Like, they make me laugh. Like, my family would, like, they know how I am, they know how Esther is, and like a lot of these people know how I am, and they never take anything personal with me. Like, they will honestly just like, hey, E, and I go by E on the field, or Big E on the field, because funny story, it's always like the thing I love talking about rugby. And I will sit here and tell you like each individual story. I have a fun story about these girls.
Yeah.
When I first played rugby, there's another girl named Esther. Keep in mind, there's not a lot of Esther.
Right.
And it's so unique how rugby has this unique way. Everyone has their own individual name, you know, like nicknames, and that's pretty common in the rugby community. When I started playing and learning about the cool things about like the social events, they have these cool events that they like to do, like drinking and just socializing with other teammates. And we just had one yesterday. I had a game yesterday that you initially I was sending it out, but unfortunately I forgot about the schedule part on your end.
Oh.
Yeah, remember, that's the game, and we won, by the way. It was a really good game.
Congratulations.
Like, the first thing I say, like, it was a good game.
It was a good game. You won. Okay,
yeah,
good.
We won.
Good, good, good.
We won. We won. So it was really nice. And like I said, it's cool because you get these nicknames and you get to like meet different people from different teams. I mean, we don't travel like crazy beyond far away. And like I told you, we usually spend a lot of time together, you know, so it just feels like they're my sisters. Sisters who, like I told you, I know how my sisters are. So they're like my sisters. And we always have those older, and like as time goes, like you have sisters who are older and not know how to like set boundaries and, you know, hey, this is what it is, and keep you in check, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that aura about the girls, and I love how many friends I've made from that team. Honestly, that's like most of my friends are just Sabres. And like I mentioned, is the other young lady, like Esther, my friend, Little E, we call her Little E.
Yeah.
It's so cute to me because there's Big E and Little E. And when she's like this small, like, I don't want to make her sound like nothing wrong with small people. Like they say, small, what, fun size?
So, fun size, yeah.
So she's so adorable. And, oh, girl, I have to tell you. So Esther had invited me to like this hiking trip. And this is the cool thing. You meet so many people who just have a variety of fun things and, you know, who loves to bake. And Esther loves to bake. This girl, chocolate chip cookies are amazing. And I just love, like, just love different friends who do different things.
Yeah.
And you get to learn from them. Like, this girl, like, telling me how to, like, her recipes and how much she put, like, in her, like, bread. And I'm like, huh, interesting. But that breading part sounds like making sourdough sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
And it's the fact, like, the love and the little things that matters to me. She had made cookies and stuff around my birthday. And I always, like, she knows, like, I'm a big bag. I love sweets. And I just love to eat. So, but at the same time, like, the little things that she does is so cute. And I love each individual, like, teammates on that, on there, because, like, they're just always very genuinely thinking about you. Those, like, as you mentioned, reaching out to, you know, your teammates, or just, like, reaching out to a coworker.
Yeah.
And I've honestly, that's all my life has been around on Tuesdays and Thursdays and weekends. I feel like I spend so much time with them. I feel like I'm so used to being around them, and it's my family, you know? So, and it, from the very beginning of the pandemic, it was a very sensitive part for me, where I'm going through a lot, losing weight and keeping me disciplined.
Yeah. I love that. So for you, I mean, it sounds like your favorite part about the rugby, it's not even the sport itself. It's like the camaraderie and the family that you get from those girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's really special.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm going back to Cece. So with her brand ambassadors, were you one of the first ones? Is that, because it sounds like it.
Yeah. Yes. I was one of the first one. When I started with her, it was me. And then I can't remember, but when she first started, she was doing pretty good when she first started, like, with her clothing line, which is crazy, because, like, as time, I feel like it's just like a flick of a switch how fast, you know, things happen for her.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first started with her, it was really pretty unique to me in a way, because I didn't expect someone to, like, randomly ask me, hey, do you want to, you know, model for, you want to do, like, clothing modeling for me?
Yeah.
I was like, thinking about it, and Cece knows me, I'm kind of low-key insecure, like, modeling? My big back?
I would love to, like, get that clip that I saw on your Instagram page and insert it right here so that everyone could see, because there is this one reel that you have on your Instagram page where you are just strutting on her runway with so much confidence.
So sweet.
Like, I would never know, based on that video, that you struggle like that.
It's so funny, like, the more I'm starting to feel more confident, but I still was like, I guess I kind of hide it in a way. Like, I still have some type of insecurity. It pops in my head, like, when you're like about, have you seen this, like, Grinch video where it's like, not it, I'm not going. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not it, I'm not going. Honestly, I, last minute decision in my mind, like, I will see myself putting something. There was one time she had, like, a fashion show that, speaking of that fashion show, it was that day I was just like, she had me try on, like, the purple stuff, and she had me walk down before with the same outfit, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror, I can't do it. I look outside, I was like, oh gosh. My light just comes down, like, I can't do it. This is a but the more I've been around Cece, the confidence comes in, kicks in, and her, just her other women, the really empowering women just kind of uplift you,
yeah,
you know, and just also reminding myself like, oh, well, you know, what's unique about me is that from a different, you know, aura of life, American Samoa, and I get to kind of like, you know, present like myself as a Samoan in the middle of nowhere of Midwest. Like, mm-hmm. How did you come from the South Pacific to all the way in the Midwest? You know,
it's, yeah, literally, it's like such a journey.
Yeah, so I really need to kind of recognize of the little special traits of myself. It's not just, you know, you're a girl, you play, you know, rugby. You're also someone who's just who's feminine and come from a different background, different, yeah. And being different is nothing wrong with it. I think
it's beautiful, honestly. Like, yeah. The cross-cultural mm-hmm. dynamic, I think, adds a really nice touch to Cece's line. It's yes. What made it stand out to me, because when I met her, I thought she was awesome. I followed her. I was hyping her up on social. Mm-hmm. And I saw the video of all of the ambassadors. Yeah. I wasn't one yet. I was just looking at it. And just the energy and the fact that there were so many women of all body types represented and mm-hmm. all cultures and all races. And I was like, okay, this is really special.
Yeah.
And so I just was like, love this. Love this energy. And she responded back to me and she's like, so join.
I love it. And that's the part about her.
And I met with her and I'm like, I have 300 followers. I think I'm an influencer, but I love you and I love what you represent and I know I'm going to grow.
Yes.
So it's just more about like whatever I can do to help you.
Yes.
I will, you know?
Absolutely. And you even mentioned like you love working with women who are just kind of similar, you know, field. You're trying to own your coffee shop right now.
Yeah.
Which is the cool part. You
this
know?
Is my coffee that we're drinking, by the way.
Yeah, which is crazy. And girl, this is actually really good. I love black coffee, by the way. And it's my first, this is the first time I'm looking at the lens trying to advertise black coffee. Okay. the part of me, like when Cece, when she has like customer, yeah. Like I feel like trying to talk to them, like looking in the eyes, like, I love this clothing line.
Yeah,
which is nice. It's that's the cool part about not only feeling beautiful, but also getting the opportunity of wearing her clothes too. So
yeah,
on the walkway.
Well, that also was all part of my whole journey of me wanting to be in the best shape. Like, there's so many reasons to be in good shape, but a lot of them, it's like I'm going to Mount Kilimanjaro this summer, so I want to be in the best shape ever. Yeah, but also like. With Cece's clothes, like she has such beautiful clothes and I love her style. It's just that I don't fit into all of the styles that I know I could look good in my body type right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like that's another reason for me to want to get into better shape.
Yeah.
But I don't think I share this story, but what got me really going and snapped me out of my depression, because I had a little bit of the blues this past January, and it just... Of course, a boy was involved. It's always a boy.
It's always these boys.
It's always these boys. they make you ugly.
What is so special for them to be going in through depression?
Because we're always like trying to look pretty and like attract them, and then we get into relationships and they make us ugly. Like, this is a trend on TikTok right now where it's like these gorgeous girls mm-hmm. who are single who are like. Thinking about getting back into a relationship, but then I remember what I looked like when I was with him. And then there's like a picture of you like 3 years ago, like acne, hair's a mess, oh, all Lord. Bloated, you know, all the stress. And it's like, even what's funny is they make us ugly when we're stressed, but they make us ugly when we're happy too. Because when we're happy in relationships, because my last serious relationship, I was really happy.
Yeah.
And we went out to eat a lot and I was super content. And I gained like 30 pounds in that relationship.
The happy way.
Because I was happy.
Way.
The problem is when he's gone, the happy way is still there. You know what I mean? It's not so happy anymore. But yeah, that's why at the end of the day, you gotta own your own health journey.
Yeah.
But I think what snapped me back to reality is I got a comment from someone that was like the worst comment a woman could get. And so I work as a barista.
Yeah.
And I work downtown. And so there's a lot of characters that I see on the daily.
Oh,
a
yeah,
lot
yeah,
of
yeah. I
homeless
can't believe
people.
It.
And there's one woman who I actually think is very sweet. I adore her.
Yeah.
She's not trouble at all. Just give her water and she's super nice. But she came in one day and the shop was a little quieter. And I was sitting down and she looked at me and she was like, "Oh, you're pregnant." And I was like, "No, ma'am."
Ooh, girl.
No, ma'am. And I was wearing a jacket and I was wearing a looser dress. And she was like, "Oh, maybe it's the dress." I'm like, "No, ma'am."
No.
And then
you're just like in shock. You're just like, "Oh, man, girl, that's the worst."
And then I stood up and I like opened up my jacket. And I'm like, "See, not pregnant." She's like, "Oh, you're early." And I'm like, "No, just fat. But thank you." Well, like, she's not 100% and she's so sweet. And like, what's so funny is that was always my worst nightmare, to hear from someone. And then it happened and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I know, like, you're getting secondhand shame and being like, "Oh God, that's terrible," right?
It is.
But like, in the moment, I was really calm about it because I knew that I wasn't treating my body the way it needed to. I knew I wasn't drinking enough water. I knew my nutrition wasn't where it needed to be. I knew I wasn't going to the gym. Like, I had fallen off track. So it's not like here I am busting my balls trying to be like super like fit. You know what I mean? Like, I knew that I wasn't treating my body with respect. So to be fair, she called me out, you know? And honestly, I appreciate her so much because I was so pissed, not at her, but just pissed that I had gotten to that point where that could even be a comment, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
That day, I got home and I started running. And this past Sunday, a week ago from today, I ran my first 5K, and that was the first time I had run in like 10 years. And I was training for 3 weeks for it because she told me I looked pregnant. I got back into the gym. I'm lifting weights at least 5 days a week now. And it's all because she told me that.
I love it.
And so it's like, we could sit here and be angry about it, but the reality is if I didn't look pregnant, she wouldn't have said it.
Absolutely.
And it's just, I think we all, going back to, yes, we all have different body types, but and not everyone's going to be a size zero. I get it.
Yes.
But there's a difference between not being a size zero and being healthy.
Absolutely.
And I don't think there's anything healthy about being overweight or being obese or being fat or any of that. I always say to my mom, "You're either fit or you're fat." There's no, you know,
no,
what I mean?
As valid.
And like, for me, my goal isn't to be a size zero. My goal is to be so in shape and so healthy that I don't need to talk about it.
Yeah,
people look at me and they're like, "She goes to the gym." You know what I mean?
No.
It's an energy. The clothes that I want fit me well. And then, like, I've got clear skin. Like, all these things, they all come from taking care of yourself. And, like, what sucks is that it's consistency. Like, when I first started running.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to run when you're overweight?
Girl. You are killing me right now. Yes, I do validate it. It's so hard. Like, you know what's the freaking worst? And my rugby, like when I first started, I have to say this one. So I have a friend, Macy, and she used to play rugby with me, and we were rookies. We started playing rugby at the same time. And girl, I was big. Remember that? We had to play sevens, and this is a less player on the field. And girl, it was humid on the field. So, and we have to play a whole game right now. And it's like 35 seconds, or let me not be dramatic. It was like 1 minute into the game, and I'm like winded. I'm looking at her like, "I'm big." I looked at her like she's like over hunching, barely can breathe. And I, like, the last time we talk about this story, she was like, I think she was low key like crying because it was so hot.
Yeah.
But I was also low key crying at the same time because I feel like I can't breathe. Like, I'm about to drop.
Literally.
And you're so like, I was just so out of shape.
Yeah. And the and you know, the wildest thing, like, this is like, there's so many like funny aha moments of going from being out of shape to being in shape. And I don't care if you're fat or skinny fat, like, everyone who's out of shape has these experiences.
Yes.
Know? There's this moment where when I was running, after a certain point where I'm like building up my endurance, I'm running for longer distances every day.
Yes.
And then there was one point when I was like, wait a minute. I'm out of breath, but that doesn't mean I gotta stop.
Yes.
That was such an aha moment for me.
Aha.
I was like, wow. And then also the fact that, like, you know, you get a stitch in your side sometimes, and then the class would be like, I'm done. I'm out. And now I'm like, wait a minute. I could keep running. I have enough breath work experience that I could change my breath work pattern and then not stop. And then the stitch goes away mid-run. I don't have to stop.
Yes, absolutely. It's true, girl. Like, I can definitely relate, like, with, like, trying to lose weight and especially running. Ooh, that is my worst one. When I have to run, I'm still struggling a bit, but it's better than what it was before, right?
Yeah.
And, like, as I've noticed with your stories and your posts, like, the consistent running, you've gotten used to it. Like, girl, you just told me, like, a week ago that you have to change the weights now.
Yeah.
And that's the progressing of getting the improvement of getting better. And we also spoke with trying to make excuses of, oh, well, I look like this way. So, you know, like, depression really leads into that way of trying to be making excuses, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, it's like depression is like a very selfish thing to me in a way, highly. I mean, you're depressed, you're in your emotion, like a lot of people want the best for you, but you're making excuses. Do you want empathy or do you want results?
And that's the thing. That's the problem with, like, you were saying the same thing. You have a support system and lots of people around you who love you. So do I. And they're the worst because they love you no matter what.
They love you.
You know, it's like they want you to be healthy, but like they don't want to hear you complaining about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they also are the same ones who, like, oh, have you eaten? Do you want to go eat? Do you need some food? Do you need some cookies?
Yes.
Like, they're the first ones. And, like, the other thing, too, is – and it's hard, especially when food is so much a part of your culture. And I think we both have that.
Absolutely.
Where it's such a bonding thing, whether you're making it or you're eating it. It's all one and the same. And, like, when you're a volume eater as well, that's really hard to, like, make sure you're – if you're a volume eater, that's fine. But eating the right things to satiate you so you're not feeling the need to eat, like, two boxes of pizza.
Yeah.
On your own.
Very true.
You know?
It's honestly really true.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes in, like, you just make excuses for yourself because you have, like, those who kind of support it. And it's kind of hard when you are around people that don't really tell you. But at the same time, it's like, it's not their fault when they're trying to help you to not lead to even more upset with yourself. Realistically. But then at the same time, when you know the truth, mentally you know the truth, right? Is to a certain degree. Like, if I look in the mirror and I see Rose, you need to go to the gym. That's how I feel. And I'm going to be very honest with myself. Yeah. And that's how I felt. Like, it sounds harsh. Like, some women will say, like, that's so mean. Like, you're body shaming your own self and you just spoke about body shame.
Your body's just communicating to
you.
Yeah,
you're absolutely.
Be objective about it. Take the emotions out.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, a really good one? Don't look at yourself from the front. Because from the front, I mean, if you got the one thing about being overweight, you got great boobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the one thing. And then, like, also, if you do your hair and your makeup really pretty, or the way that you can wear outfits that cinch in the front, like, there's ways that you can make your front look good.
Yeah.
From the side, even you can make it look good. You know what doesn't look good?
What?
The back.
Really?
Yeah. You look like a linebacker from the back. That doesn't look good. You know what I mean? Not you specifically, but you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
cool.
I was, like, doing a painting and I looked at my back and I'm like, ow. You know, like, there's no heart.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to freaking laugh at that.
It's so relatable and it's so true. Like, I'll tell you what it is. I have gotten to this no BS mentality with, like, being in shape because I found Skinny Talk on TikTok where these girls are just like, if you look like a cheat meal, you don't get a cheat meal. You know, like, they're just no BSing. And they're like, you don't get a treat. You're not a dog. Like, stop rewarding yourself with food.
Yeah,
you know, or it's just true. Like, also these girls being so open. Like, you see these girls who are hot and skinny. And if you're not there yet and you know it takes a long time to get there, because it does. It doesn't have to take forever. But it will take consistency and it will take probably a few months to a year, depending on how much you have to go.
Absolutely.
And so, like, you look at these girls and you're like, oh, some girls are just born this way. And then you see these skinny girls walking on TikTok being like, you think I want to be out here? You think I want to be walking? No, I want to be hot. I'm on my hot girl walk. Don't mess with me. Just like, you know what? We're all struggle busing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're all trying our best and that's okay. And I think for me, even stepping into the gym, like, being winded, being out of breath, not being able to do the weights the same way I used to be able to do, or my clothes not fitting me the same way, makes you not even want to be in the gym at first. But you're like, you know what? Everyone's here for a reason. And you just got to keep going. You got to keep being consistent. That's all.
Absolutely. That's true. Yeah. And it's honestly, self-care comes in. It's, you know, self-care, it's absolutely self-care. And I think it's majority, when I say depression is selfish, always keep in consideration, love yourself. And that's why I was like, always remember, like, love is a beautiful thing, to understand that love, 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 but also don't forget about yourself and don't neglect yourself, because neglecting yourself will lead you to so many things, that realizing you're not self-aware, that you're disconnected from good people. Like, example, I neglected things that I had a purpose of not even realizing I couldn't step out of my comfort and found a good team that gave me a purpose in life.
Yeah, and like a second family. Hold you accountable.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing. It's like, now that got me to being in a gym consistently. Like, okay, now I need to go. Now that I got the result wanting to play, now I gotta look good. And now, like, I have this, like, eagle in a way, like, being in a gym is like, I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
Because you got in the consistent habit, and you're very, when you walk in the room, like, every time I walk in a room, like, I'm humble enough to know what I can do, but I don't have to, like, prove you. How about you come see it? Like, I know I'm confident in auras of my, like, sportsmanship too, if that makes sense.
It does.
And I think that's the cool part about my mentality. I'm very humble enough to know I'm confident in my body now, especially compared from what it was before. It was really difficult. Yes, it's not easy, but what's easy is the consistent on the daily basis of just keep going. Like you mentioned, again and again and again.
And it's so exciting when you start to get in the zone. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Stairmaster, because you mentioned that earlier. I don't care how good you get at the Stairmaster. Those first few minutes, man, are top. That, like, in your
it's
mind.
It's fire.
Mentally, you want out, right?
Yeah.
And so I've been challenging myself. I put on a good TV show.
Yeah.
And then I will be doing no hands. And I'm starting off slow, like level 4. So it's not like crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's no hands and no breaks. And I was trying to do the Ed Milet. He has this book called The Power of One More. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say, for example, you say, I'm going to do 10 push-ups. Do 10 push-ups and then do one more.
That's nice. That's
just
nice.
To always be breaking that barrier. So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to do 10 minutes on the Stairmaster. So then I did 11. And the next day I did 12. You know, so just like kind of pushing myself slowly.
Yeah.
And, but what's so cool was after I got past minute 3 or 4, it really wasn't that bad.
Nice.
You know, like you get into this zone where it's like, I think, especially as women, once we get past this idea of you're going to sweat and it's okay, you know?
No, it's definitely true. You're saying, like, it's crazy how much you're saying stuff that really, like, hit hard in a certain way, because it refreshes, like, so much memories of coming back to, like, how did I get this far? How did I – and sometimes you got to clap your – you know, not clap, but just, like, applaud yourself on your back.
Yeah.
For the things that you have done. And once you get to those results, and once you see, like, you've – like you mentioned, trying to fit a certain, if you were trying to fit on a dress that you bought like 2 years ago, or you had a dress that you look slimmed in it, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to feel good once you finally, like, knock off the weight.
Sleeves aren't tight. Whoa. So exciting. So exciting. Yeah, those are like the non-scale wins that just feel great. The energy.
Absolutely.
And then going back to depression, like, especially as women, we go through our cycles with our periods. So, like, right now, just to be totally, since we're being so honest in today's conversation, I am in my luteal phase of my cycle, which is the week right before my period. So I'm feeling like low energy, kind of blah, just kind of gross.
Yeah.
And so, like, first thought of self-care on a Sunday, which is my day off, mm-hmm. It's like, let me just have a slow morning and scroll on TikTok and watch my comfort shows. Like, that's what society almost is telling us is self-care.
Yeah.
But it's faux self-care, because what really got me in a better mood today was I went to a breath work and an ice plunge and sauna event. Mm. And that just reset my whole nervous system. And, like, I feel so good right now. My body feels relaxed. I got all these endorphins out. Like, I was shaking in the ice plunge and I was like, hype. My head was kind of like fuzzy when I was doing the breath work. And then in the sauna, I'm just pouring out sweat.
Oh my gosh.
And it just felt so good, you know?
As you should.
And even now, like, that gave me, that jump started me exactly what I needed for even this conversation is really inspiring to me because I'm like, I haven't gone to the gym yet today. And like, now I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go to the gym, you know?
It honestly, it's a fulfilling, you know, you can definitely agree, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the, of course, everything when the first few time, it's like, oh my God, could it feel good? And then the more you go and go, it's like, it starts being a habit.
Totally. But
once you start, it's really easy as time goes on. Yeah. Like, it's almost like you're eating on junk food.
You feel bad if you
don't go. Yeah, it's like eating on junk food. Like, that's vice versa. You still to feel bad. But then, like, when you're eating on something so trashy, you're so, it's easy to do. But once you get in a habit of doing good things, it's so easy to do too. And I think a lot of people don't realize it's just, it takes time. It takes patience. And the results will show as time goes on. And so much like people I see like quotes. Yeah, of course, a lot of stuff can happen in 6 months, but we realistically, we like to, you know, say that 6 months, a lot of stuff can happen, but a lot of us don't really do it. But time flies by. Like we're already like, what's the month of, we're
almost close. In April. Yeah.
Yeah. We're about to be in April and time is flying. So if we started at like New Year, you could have lost a lot of weight. And that's what it was for me. But at the same time, it's just when you don't really have much to do, it kind of makes a huge difference.
We've talked about so many fun topics. Honestly, I'm so glad. Like, it's so funny because in the beginning of this podcast episode, you had DM'd me today and you're like, girl, I'm ready. I'm pumped. I want to vent. And
it was well needed.
I know, but like, this is so awesome because like when you first said vent, I thought you meant about like a specific someone or situation.
Oh.
And I was like, I mean, I'm here for you. I just don't know if you want this recorded and put out into the ether. And that's why I was like, maybe we should just go for dinner instead. Like, if you really need to vent, we could talk about this some other time. But like, you're like, no, we'll do it on camera. I'm like, okay, whatever you want.
No, I feel like
this is a different vibe for sure.
I feel like the most important thing is like, as time as I grow, and like, as I told you, the biggest thing is that I hide a lot of emotions. I hide a lot of emotions. I like to avoid, and I don't do it on purpose because like, I'm not comfortable with you. It's just something like, I don't like the reminder in my mind, like, oh, you know? So, but lately, actually recently, it's been very tough. Today is actually a good friend of mine's birthday. And he passed away a few months ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and it was like a lot of fulfilling feelings with that situation because honestly, he was a special person that really, a meaningful friendship to me a lot during the phase where, sorry, I'm going to laugh because it's like a meaningful relationship to me a lot because I'm thinking about the memories I have with this guy. And this is why, he has a laugh where it just kind of brushes off. Like, if you know how you just hear someone's laugh or you hear their name and you think about them, it just makes you giggle because it's all you think about is a good time.
Yeah.
And this person, and his name is Shibui, and he passed away around September of 2024. And girl, I had a rough time in 2024 towards the end of the year. I mean, I was going through a difficult relationship and nothing personal to really want to go into that. But I would definitely say that it was personally with myself, like things that I just need to understand, like, you know, this is what it is. And just like the other situation coming in the wrong time, you know, but personally with that just kind of made me realize like I cannot make any more excuses and realize I need to kind of understand and vent into realizing when things are going on, lean towards other people than not just by myself.
Wow. I needed to hear that. Yep.
Yep. And sometimes I need to give myself grace. You know, yeah. I can't beat myself constantly on a daily basis and say, It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be, and keep smiling. That's the problem with media. And like, we even communicated like with the whole showing these girls the perspective of what you're supposed to look like. And it's so many reasons why social media has been causing the issues of dating, anxiety, numerous of things, like even with insecurity, the confidence on our body. We're comparing ourselves as women. Don't get me wrong. Just numerous of time, I'll look at myself like, dang, her body looks nice.
Yeah, totally. Like,
why is my body not like that?
Right, but then it's also understanding, like, I think that's the hard part too, where if you've been bigger for a long time, mm-hmm. you don't know what your body is going to look like when you're the finished goal, right?
Yeah.
I know a lot of friends who are like at my age, but they were like a size zero in high school. And they're like, I'm trying to look like I did when I was 16. I'm like, I'm trying to not look like what I did when I was 16. You know what I mean? Like, I've been overweight since I was 9 years old. And like, I know the problem and I know the solution.
Yeah.
And I know I have all the knowledge, I have all the tools. All I have to do is stick with it long enough that I see results.
Yeah.
It's just the consistency.
Yeah. That too. And also the confidence, the major, like bold, bold, bold. If you want to like go out and like, hey, I like you, like you cute, you know, like do it, but don't lose confidence because you got rejected. Yes, you're upset, but don't start like critiquing. Cause I coming from a person who constantly critique themselves, like self all the time. And like you mentioned in our conversation, like people pleaser, 100% people pleasers, myself. Is it healthy in a way? Is it good to a certain degree? But it's not good. When you are having confidence in yourself, and like I mentioned, you don't ever, like you said, it kind of somewhat, we also have to be reminded as women, even when like we came from friendships, you use all these practice of principles in every aspect of your life. If you're with your colleagues, if you're like, these are the things you need to be very confident in walking, because I struggle on confidence all the time, not even just body shaming myself, but like just overall myself of like when I get criticized, don't forget, it's just like, you know, it's either a result to what I can do, or either I made them feel better, like vice versa when it comes to like dating. If I'm the one hollering at you and like, hey, you handsome, but like not feeling it, like, you know, but you know what, it's cool, like I respect it that you're honest with me, but at the same time, it was like, I don't feel bad, because like in a way you probably feel good in a way, because there's numerous of time where like, I kind of really do actually appreciate that you did had an interest in me, but at the same time, unfortunately, like I don't have the feelings similar back, right? So a lot of us girls can say that, but for men, you're helping them 10 times better, because not a lot of men can get validation. Not that they're all ugly, it's just, you know, that's usually typically from my experience, and even having some conversation with some of friends, they usually tell me like, they struggle on having women holler at them. And they always, half of the time, I've been told from like some of good pal friends, they prefer a woman, you know, hollering at them. It makes them feel good, you know? Yeah. But, you know, you can't go wrong for, you know, walking up to a man and say, can I get your number? No pressure, you know?
Yeah.
You just boost his ego.
Yeah. Haven't had a better interaction with him since, so you know, fun stuff. Anyways, we could talk forever, but I have this tradition at the end of every podcast. I always ask my guest if they have a favorite life lesson or quotable quote that they like to share with us.
I would definitely say life lesson, and then you said
or a quote, whichever you prefer.
I will say, I know I told you another quote that's related to love, but I'm definitely will say empathy or results. That's my favorite one of all. It kind of covers all over all the things that we kind of talked about.
It totally does.
Empathy or results. And empathy is something like I'm very sensitive and always somewhat backing out on things, decision and confidence. And that's when confidence comes in, and or you just either want to get to it, act on it, do it, just do it, get some results. Like you're never going to know once you do something. And that's when confidence come in. Because if you actually have results, it means like you really actually tried your effort or tried to do something instead of feeling a certain way about stuff. And that just kind of like, if you look from our friendship topic and life situation, insecurity with our body, you know, that's a major one.
It's also a really good question to be able to ask people when they're going through it. You're like, do you want empathy right now or do you want results? Mm-hmm. From me too.
That's very major. Yeah. And I've always loved the mentality of thinking that way because it helps me like process in life. Kind of like always, it comes back to that, you know, circle of, in a way, like, do I want to avoid it? No, you don't want to avoid it. So, you know, try to kind of recognizing the problem that you're going through, you know, the results, like the things that has happened. And so don't feel so stuck in the emotions of constantly going in a wheel of like a hamster, like running on per miles. And I could run per miles with my thoughts sometimes, yeah, you know?
Totally.
So sometimes it's always kind of good to kind of distract yourself and kind of like it just depends on the habits that you're doing in your life, especially like with rugby. Rugby distracts me and put me in a better sight of life and decisions. And it puts me away. And like on a Tuesday and Thursday, I'm working out with the girls, like on our skills of what we can do better for the game.
Yeah.
And like at the end of the game, I'm having a good laugh. And you know, that bubbly, just like that conversation with someone might just give you a light bulb, like, this is honestly what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And I kind of get your thoughts together by yourself. And then like, even especially with the gym sometime, you know, cause girl, 8 to 5 is not going to make you think about life. Cause it just makes you think about worse.
Yeah.
But those like taking care of your mental health is major. And I hope anybody out there recognize that your mental health is important just as your body. Yes, looking good is amazing. Feeling confident looks amazing, right? Walking down, if it's the walkway, but also making sure you take care of your mental health is the major part. And I think we sleep on that and we are not self-aware that our mental health is not in the right stage because we're so hyper-focused on gotta do this over and over and over instead of like slowing yourself down and say, need to like play the book back a little bit, play that tape a little bit, what I'm doing wrong, you know,
have that self-reflection time.
Absolutely.
Totally. So to end, is there anything that my audience can do to help support you and everything that you're involved in right now?
Honestly, I would say, like I've mentioned, like from the very beginning, is supporting the local team around here in St. Louis. It's called the Sabres. As I mentioned throughout the podcast, how much the team has meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. The Sabres, if anybody are interested in playing rugby or just what is rugby as for women or even men, we have teams here, men team clubs that feel free to check it out. Like, girl, I had a lot of men from House of Pain, not a lot, like maybe a few, but that tried out one summer when my friend and I like played with one of the boys team called the Hornets. It's a men's team. And it was fun. It's kind of cool, like kind of having different people to kind of go out and do things, and then ended up like doing it for a while. So if they're watching this, please definitely join a local team around here, the Sabres, and we have other team around in the Midwest as well. Definitely feel free. It doesn't have to be the Sabres. It could be a team in Kansas City. And I just want people to kind of experience that flow of what, you know, I've gone through. Because then trust and believe me, I had definitely made a transitioning in my life of just not doing old habits. Like when you have different variety of people, a good support system, it makes a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And sure. I think it would mean a lot just having people support, even just not playing it, maybe just, you know, sharing their contact or sharing us on a daily basis sometimes and come out and watch our game.
Yeah.
Definitely watch our home games. We do have a Facebook page and also Instagram. So a lot of our games is away, but we do have some home games, and we have an executive. She goes by La, so her full name is Laura. I'm not gonna put her last name out there today, but her name is Laura. But if anybody feel free, you guys can always reach out to our executive. But I think that she's more on our social media side. But I know that our executive leadership will probably, like, you know, reach out. They're very consistent with people. Like, I remember reaching out to try to play. They reached out quickly. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And then also your code for ShopCHAM, if anyone wants to.
Oh, yes. Yeah. If anybody wants to use my CHAM, ShopCHAM, you can use Esther 10. Mm-hmm. So please do. And then also your first purchase will be off a percentage. So definitely make sure you use Esther 10. And that's another thing also as well, the fashion as well, you know, sharing myself as an individual, that builds my confidence up. So I'm honored to be able to be recognized in certain aura of little business with ShopCHAM, and then also be able to do my purpose of rugby. You know, my passion is, that's my fun hobby on my free time mostly. So
yeah, you definitely have a really cool life for sure.
Thank you.
It was such a pleasure having you on. Thanks for coming.
No, thank you for having me. Seriously, this was really exciting, and it was well needed on a Sunday. So yeah. And it's nice. It went from like a stormy day, and now it's like, it's
stunning. Nice. I know. Gotta love St. Louis.
Bipolar, I tell you.
Literally. Well, guys, this was another fabulous episode. And if you are not currently watching it, the video version is on Spotify and YouTube. And if you're not subscribed to Jew from the Lou, what are you doing with your life? Please go subscribe and share this episode with a friend. I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.